When she finally heard someone moving toward her, she just tried to yell that she wanted out. The dry rasp that came out of her throat surprised her. She swallowed, working her tongue to try to create some saliva, and tried again. Another faint rattle in the throat. The people were right outside her locker door. A voice was talking quietly. Julie had pulled back a fist to bang on the door when she heard what it was saying.
No. Please no. Please don't.
Dave, her ship's mechanic. Dave, who collected clips from old cartoons and knew a million jokes, begging in a small, broken voice.
No. Please no. Please don't, he said.
Hydraulics and locking bolts clicked as the inner airlock door opened. A meaty thud as something was thrown inside. Another click as the airlock closed. A hiss of evacuating air. When the airlock cycle had finished, the people outside her door walked away. She didn't bang to get their attention. They'd scrubbed the ship. Detainment by the inner planet navies was a bad scenario, but they'd all trained on how to deal with it. Sensitive OPA data was scrubbed and overwritten with innocuous-looking logs with false timestamps. Anything too sensitive to trust to a computer, the captain destroyed. When the attackers came aboard, they could play innocent. It hadn't mattered. There weren't the questions about cargo or permits. The invaders had come in like they owned the place, and Captain Darren had rolled over like a dog. Everyone else, Mike, Dave, Wan Lee, they'd all just thrown up their hands and gone along quietly. The pirates or slavers or whatever they were had dragged them off the little transport ship that had been their home and down a docking tube without even minimal environment suits. The tube's thin layer of mylar was the only thing between them and hard nothing. Hope it didn't rip. Goodbye lungs if it did. Julie had gone along too, but then the bastards had tried to lay their hands on her, strip her clothes off. 5 years of low-gravity jiu-jitsu training and them in a confined space with no gravity. She'd done a lot of damage. She'd almost started to think she might win when, from nowhere, a gauntleted fist smashed into her face. Things got fuzzy after that. Then the locker and shoot her if she makes a noise. 4 days of not making noise, while they beat her friends down below and then threw one of them out an airlock. After 6 days, everything went quiet. Shifting between bouts of consciousness and fragmented dreams, she was only vaguely aware as the sounds of walking, talking, and pressure doors, and the subsonic rumble of the reactor and the drive faded away a little at a time. When the drive stopped, so did gravity. And Julie woke from a dream of racing her old pinnace to find herself floating while her muscles screamed in protest, and then slowly relaxed. She pulled herself to the door and pressed her ear to the cold metal. Panic shot through her until she caught the quiet sound of the air recyclers. The ship still had power and air, but the drive wasn't on, and no one was opening a door or walking or talking. Maybe it was a crew meeting, or a party on another deck, or everyone was in engineering, fixing a serious problem. She spent a day listening and waiting. By day 7, her last sip of water was gone. No one on the ship had moved within range of her hearing for 24 hours. She sucked on a plastic tab she'd ripped off the environment suit until she worked up some saliva. Then she started yelling. She yelled herself hoarse. No one came. By day 8, she was ready to be shot. She'd been out of water for 2 days, and her waste bag had been full for 4.